Alright guys, so you'll be wondering, what's my score for the seasonals? What's my score for day one? I'll reveal it in due time during today's episode. And so let me just do my introduction. I've actually really been thinking about removing the intro music. But I guess the intro music, or the nice beat, or the nice orchestra, classical music at the start, really gets you guys pumped up, interested to find out what Awesome Hazelnuts has to say regarding the seasonal tournament. And so, today's episode, we're going to talk about the aftermath of day one of the seasonal tournament, my experience and everything that I've went through during the full 10 hours of playing the game. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode where I had Mr. Bear on. Mr. Bear is one of the better players in the Southeast Asia region. He's a guy that has definitely put in a lot of work towards the game, and as you can see through the results that he has gotten, especially winning the seasonal tournament. So shout out to him for joining me last week for my podcast episode, and he'll definitely be back in the future. And so, what's my score for seasonals? But first, let's just talk about the lineup that I brought for the seasonal tournament. Drum roll, please. Okay, there's no drum roll, so let's just get into it. Okay, so the decks that I brought this time around is the exact same as last season. I brought TLC, Trundle Lissandra Control, if you guys don't know what's TLC. In case you guys haven't been playing ladder. In fact, I do believe that most of you guys have been playing the ladder. And so yes, I brought TLC. I honestly think that TLC is too busted to not even bring to a tournament. Even though there are many counters available such as Overwhelm, such as Azir Irelia. But when you think about it, TLC fundamentally as a deck has no weakness. And so I just bring it, I just win by turn 8 and that's about it. And the second deck that I brought is none other than Deep. Throughout my testing with a lot of my friends, and shout out to Psycho and Calamitas for the intense testing and playtesting throughout the entire past 2 weeks. And so when it comes to Deep, a lot of players were trying to convince me not to bring Deep. Personally, I've always brought Deep to tournaments, be it a year ago when I played during the Duels of Runeterra where I got top 4. I always brought Deep because Deep as a deck has a very linear and simple strategy to achieve, which is ensuring your deck has 15 or less cards. And we all know that ever since Sea Scarab was released, the deck really has gotten to a whole new level. With the buffs to Sea Scarab, Deep has really become a monster on its own. Sometimes just having Sea Scarab on the board, together with a couple of Drag Dredges, can really put a lot of pressure on the opponent, because if they were to clear your minions, you just toss one card, and you're one step closer to leveling up or even achieving the Deep condition, dropping Nautilus, and the game just ends there. I do know that there are some inherently bad matchups, such as Azir Irelia, such as the threat of aggro decks. Deep not necessarily has the best time of all decks when you think about it. Sometimes the deck just loses to itself. You just don't draw the right hands, you just look at the screen, and then you're just wondering, where are my salvages? Where is my Lure of the Depths? And the funny thing about Lure of the Depths is that I never liked the card initially. It was only because of Sea Scarab being released that I included Lure of the Depths into the overall Deep deck. Because Deep in the past could be played more of a control deck instead of a combo deck. Because there are a lot of nifty combos that you can do, such as Lure of the Depths making Abyssal Eye 4 mana. And with Nautilus on the board, you can spam a couple of Abyssal Eye for 0 mana, maybe 2 or 3 together with Stalking Shadows, and you can easily cheese an OTK opponent within a turn, which is an amazing thing that no deck other than Deep can do, because, you know, TF Fizz is no longer in the meta, so you'll never ever see someone do the Burblefish OTK anymore. And I do know that TF Fizz is still viable, but it's no longer at the power levels which it originally was about 2 months ago. And so the final deck which I brought is a staple for me. It's the same deck which I brought to almost every season except the first one. It is the Zoe Shyvana Aso. I initially wanted to just bring Zoe Aso, but then after thinking about it, with the current meta state, with so many Nasus Trash, with so many Zoe Vi, and with the off chance that my opponent might bring something funny to the pool, I decided that running a very more standard challenger style Aso deck will be better instead of a more invoke style Aso deck, because either way with my lineup, even though Deep has an amazing time against TLC, I will still ultimately be banning TLC because ASO has a really bad time against it. And the TLC mirror is incredibly atrocious. I do know that you guys have played it. Sometimes it comes down to you having double Lissandra. It really comes down to you. Yeah, basically, if you need Lissandra champion spell, if not, you need Vengeance to stop it. But I think Lissandra champion spell is the card that really boils down to it. And yeah, that's the big reason why I really believe that Shyvana ASO is the strongest deck when it comes to these seasonals. But some players would choose to disagree, saying that Azir Irelia is way better than Shyvana ASO. And as I'm speaking, there's a plane flying over me, so I don't think it really affects the podcast quality because I'll be editing it. And so these are the three decks that I brought. It's the exact same as last season. You ask me what is my strategy going to seasonals, I can tell you that the strategy that I brought is basically the most simple one. I predict a lot of players will bring Draven Azrael because it is the most common pool. And when I look at most of the players that are on the Masters ladder, they're always playing either Draven Azrael or they're playing Dragons, or they're most likely playing Azir Irelia. In terms of TLC, a lot of players are really targeting their deck. Azir Irelia just eats it for breakfast. Overwhelm is incredibly powerful, can be paired together with any lineup. And there's a chance that there's a Lee Sin in the pool. And so when I really think about it, why not I just bring three decks, which I'm very comfortable with, especially ASO, which I've been playing for a very, very long time, such as early as what, October, September. And then I bring Deep, a deck which I've been playing since June, July of last year. And finally, I brought TLC, because like I mentioned, TLC is the sort of deck where there is no weakness. Overwhelm can be very huge, you know, they try to spike, kill you before turn 8. But when you fundamentally think about it, Triple Flash Freeze, Double Vengeance, and a couple of Blighted Ravine, I don't think there's, if played correctly, there's no way of you losing the game. And so, when I talk about losing the game with TLC, let me just go through the final score that I have, which is I went 6-3, 6 wins and 3 losses. I will be talking more about the losses that I had, but as a tournament as a whole, before I really deep dive into my final score, breaking down the different decks that the win and losses throughout the entire tournament, I can say that compared to last season where I went 7-2, this 6-3 really felt weird. Because the thing is that when it comes to the losses that I had, it was never a close game. It was outright getting dumpstered. Because, you know, sometimes your opponent opens Triple Butcher together with Trash and they level up Trash in a turn. And really, you can't react to that. And then another loss is basically due to double Dragon Child together with Screeching Dragon, two of it, and Shyvana against Deep. And I don't think there's any counterplay to that. And that's why I believe that last season when I lost the final two rounds, when I went 7-0 and ultimately 0-2 at the end, I definitely did not prepare for someone bringing the same lineup as me or something similar to what I was bringing. Because at the time, I do not believe that a lot of players would be thinking that deep of thinking of bringing Susan plus TLC together, which ultimately became one of the better lineups which I saw last season. Because during the final rounds or the Swiss rounds, I believe that the players who advanced are the ones that figured out that TLC plus Nasus Trash together is the best combination. And so we carry on to this season. This season is basically the replica of the previous one. The decks are almost the same, except with the addition of Azir Irelia, and more players starting to realize that Overwhelm is actually a very solid deck. And that's why when I lost the two rounds, the third round when I lost didn't really matter too much, because to me, it was do or die. If I lost the next round, I would be out, because with my ladder sitting, I'm currently sitting at position 42 before the ladder sort of freeze. I don't know that top 50, statistically, you have a chance of advancing, but let's just cross my fingers and say that, you know what, it is what it is. So I just count it as two losses and I'm out. Because if I got top 30 ladder, I will advance with 7-2. But the moment I got a second loss, it just sort of just clicked in my head that this tournament run is sort of over already. There is no point carrying on. And so, when I lost the two rounds, there were a lot of question marks in my head. I wondered whether it's the lineup I brought, or whether I sort of played badly. But when it comes down to that, I just realized that the losses that I had yesterday were sort of, it happens, you know, it came down to the line of it happens, and it is a state where it's not a good sign. Because when you lost, because when it happens, it means that your opponent just had the better draw of the day. Because when I talk about the losses that I had and the wins that I have, most of my wins were 2-0. I'm not even kidding. I won every single round 2-0. The ones where I lost is 0-2. And the games where I won is always back and forth, ultimately coming down to me outskilling my opponent. Because like I mentioned, the three decks that I brought, Deep, TLC, and ASO, it's the lineup I prepared because I do know that when it comes down to it, I just bring three decks and I'm very good at it. I'm very good at playing it because it's the games. I mean, the amount of games that I've played this season on these three decks, I'm more or less settled, and I know that when it comes down to it, I can beat anyone. Or not even on a good day, I can beat anyone. And with these past two seasonals and with the first two seasonals, four seasonals together, I failed to make top cut in all of it. And so this really got me thinking, maybe I'm doing something wrong. My preparation, is it wrong? Because compared to last season, this time around, I actually screamed with the rank 1 player for my region, which is Psycho. Somehow, some way, he ended up on my friend list because we somehow ended up on someone's Twitch channel. He knew I existed because he did pop by my stream, but he didn't really talk much. And so we sort of just started talking, bouncing ideas, and we started screaming against each other. And so here's the funny thing about yesterday, because we do keep note of each other's score. And when he had one loss, he just asked me, "Are you same score as me?" And I say, "Yeah, man, we are 2-1. And then next moment, we were 3-2. And we like, okay, one more loss and we are out. And then ultimately, when it came to us getting 6-3 each, I just sort of told him, "I have no idea what happened today." And he also told me he had no idea what happened today. Because statistically speaking, when you're rank 1 and you're sitting at 800 LP, you are practically having like almost 100% win rate or 97% win rate at that point. While for me is, you know, I'm position 42. My win rate should be 70 to 75% or even 80%. You losing on seasonals is something which really bugs me because throughout the entire season, I can say that I had a pretty high win rate. And on the seasonals itself, going 6-3, it means that I had a 66.7% win rate, which is abysmal compared to my ladder performance, which really infuriates me. And so sometimes you roll the 20% lose rate of the ladder all the time during seasonals. And so this happened 4 seasons in a row, and I really have no comment. I do know that I have one more season left to qualify for Worlds, but that's a stretch. I do really have to get top 10 ladder during next season, which I believe is possible because with the current work from home arrangement. Not I'm trying to say that I'm trying to slack at work or anything. But I do believe that going to Worlds is something I want to accomplish before, you know, leaving card games forever. But let's just say not forever. Let's just say putting an end to it, moving on to other things. Because I have a lot of big plans for what comes next, especially during the final quarter of the year. I have a lot of projects that are going to be started. And I do not know whether I'll be carrying on playing card games or not. I do enjoy playing it, but maybe not on a consistent basis after October. And so I really do like to end my chapter playing Legends of Runeterra, playing card games in general as a whole, this September, when if I make it to Worlds, because at this rate we have one more season, anything can happen. We all know the fluctuation of the ladder system. One day you can be 100% win rate, the next day you can be 0% win rate. Some days you see a 65% win rate, and you might as well not play it at all. And so when it comes down to it, I do believe that preparation is really important. And I'll definitely be putting like 101% into next season because it's make it or break it already. Because if I miss this season, it's probably going to be next year. And I do not want to talk about next year. I'd rather live in the now and focus on what I can do right now. And so today, after the seasonal tournament, after going 6-3, I thought I would at least improve my performance, getting 8-1, 9-0. 9-0 was always the aim. I believe that in my lineup, I could go 9-0. But the thing that really bugged me was how luck can be a big factor, especially when it comes to seasonals. Because I'm not just speaking for myself. I do know a lot of players who have really high win rate. And yesterday, during the seasonals, it really got them really tilted, especially when they lost games where they shouldn't lose. But due to some luck, they just lose. Because, let's be honest, I've been playing card games for a very, very long time, 11 years. I've played at the biggest tournaments in Yu-Gi-Oh! I played at the national level, one of the biggest tournaments in Hearthstone back at the time in 2014. And now flash forward to today, I'm still playing card games. And so I really think about it, thinking about things in perspective. Maybe the final season is the one that matters most because when you think about it, when you're moving into World Championship and the final season before the World Championship is always the guy that is the most, you know, on the ball, because it's the one season before Worlds. And so whoever wins at seasonals, whoever performs well during the seasonals, or even, you know, suddenly wakes up and play like a god, is someone that is to be feared. And to me, qualifying for Worlds with the ladder points is not something I want to do. I always wanted to go into Worlds by winning seasonals or top 4 in seasonals, because that's where people actually notice that, you know, you're scary. Because ladder, you can be some random guy who puts in a lot of games playing a certain archetype like Azir Aurelia, and you sort of just make it to Worlds. And so enough with that talk, let's just talk about the final score of my favorite decks. And so, Deep, a deck I was very confident in, it was the one deck which I underperformed on. I went 2 wins and 7 losses with it. I do know that 7 losses sounds ridiculous, but I'm gonna tell you, the 3 rounds which I lost were both on Deep. My Deep went 2 wins and 7 losses, which is, whoa, it's incredible, right? It's crazy. The games which I lost on Deep, I always never liked Jettison in Deep. It's a sort of card where it's either only good if you have it in your opening hand, and when you top deck it, it might be good if your board is stabilized, but really as a card, it's a 1 mana do nothing. Some people might argue and say Jettison is great, but in this season, my Deep ran Jettison. In the past, I never ran Jettison at all. Because when I think about the current way Deep can be played, you can play any other card. It can turn into a more of a trading option, having Maokai on the board and then generating lots of value from Maokai. But then, I think the biggest mistake, because I had a premonition before the tournament, was that bringing Jettison in Deep was a mistake. Somehow, it ended up costing me a lot of games, because Jettison ended up being a very dead card, especially during the later games. I don't know that, okay, let me tell you guys, when you're playing Deep and you mulligan for Jettison, it's always a bad idea. You never ever want to keep it in your opening hand. You always want to top deck it, or you want it milled away. It's only good when you draw it at the right time. And yes, that is my experience with playing with Jettison yesterday. Through testing, maybe I got lucky. Jettison sort of worked out fine. But really, I don't think that you should ever have Jettison in Deep. It's just a 1 mana do nothing card. That's from my experience. The 7 losses I had were very, very painful, because I was so confident on Deep. I played this deck so many times. And yesterday, it just still materialized. It just got too late. I couldn't reach Deep by turn 7. My opponent just steamrolled me. And it got to the point where I was so angry that I lost to an Ezreal Draven with Nautilus, because I couldn't reach Deep on turn 7 and he had a sizable board dealing enough damage with Ballistic Ball with Draven. I could handle the creatures, but I couldn't handle with the leveled up Ezreal. And that ended up making me lose the game, because the Deep came too late, as it came at turn 9 and I lost. And so when I lost this type of matchup, especially on Ezreal Draven, against Ezreal Draven, which you shouldn't even lose in the first place, it really got me thinking that all these stats and all that, I don't know, without the stats, without all this ridiculous, you know, percentage and all the data analysts doing their crappy jobs, I can just say that Deep always dumpsters Ezreal Draven. And yesterday when I lost against Ezreal Draven with Deep, I just facepalmed. I really have no comment regarding that. And the second deck, which is TLC, I went 2-0 on it. Surprisingly, that was the deck which always been banned. And the times where it's not been banned, I got to play Dragons. And TLC, I can say, I played it, I think I went 3-0 on it, not 2-0. I believe it's 3-0. Yeah, I went 3-0 on TLC. And the best part was that I used TLC to beat 2 Overwhelm and 1 Lee Sin during my run. The matchups where I thought I was going to lose, I ended up winning. For the TLC part, the triple Flash Freeze really came in handy. I believe that you have to run 3 Flash Freeze in TLC. Because when you think about it, you don't need to do any prior damage spells to your opponent. You don't need Atrocity, you don't need any funny cards. Because the pressure of the Watcher on the field itself, right, even though it gets removed, even though it gets silenced, la 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 la, it is still the Watcher. It's still 11 damage, guys. If he doesn't destroy a deck, he destroys the Nexus. And the Ice Pillar can really put into such a scenario where it can just hit your face and you just lose. And double Watcher, Trundle, Lissandra, Matron on the board, that's game. I'm not even kidding, you don't even need to obliterate your deck, you just win on spot. And that's why I believe that TLC as a deck is fundamentally too strong. And if you're not bringing TLC, there's something seriously wrong with you. And the final deck, Dragons, it's either I went 8-1 or 9-1. I think it's the most best performing deck for me, because I've played a lot of games on Dragons for the past 3 seasons. It's a deck which I'm most comfortable with. I don't see myself losing the mirror match. In fact, I never lost a mirror match yesterday, even once. I beat TLC with it, which was, okay, something which I did not expect. And it's a deck where I believe it was banned yeah, it's always banned to get TLC. Deep was never banned because I do believe that Deep can be quite inconsistent. And so for Dragons, right, I do believe that moving forward into the next seasonals, Dragons will never get hit. Shyvana is so balanced. Aso is so balanced. Zoe is fine. And so as a concept, if you are looking towards next seasonals, you want to perform, maybe Dragons is the best bet to actually go and grind games. Because when it comes to Dragons, right, it's really, really the sort of deck where it really takes skill to master. And I can say across my heart, when it comes down to Dragons, my performance, I sort of expected. I didn't expect to drop one game. And here's the funny thing. I'm going to talk about the one game that I dropped later on. And so when you talk about the decks that I faced during seasonals, I believe that this has been a very wide discussion. A lot of people sort of predicted the decks that are going to show up. The most common deck which showed up was Draven Azure. It was more common than Overwhelm and more common than Urza Aurelia. I'm not even kidding. I've seen Draven Azure in maybe 7 out of 9 rounds. With me losing to one. Yeah, I lost to one Draven Azure lineup, which just so happened to be also containing one special deck, which I will mention later. I think Azure Draven as a deck is not that great. It is, even though it's slightly favored against Dragons, but it's just sort of bad against TLC and Susan. I do know that maybe Susan, you can outplay a little bit against TLC. You can sort of cheese them with a lot of stuns and all that. But really, Draven Azure is just a card which have really good removal, and that's about it. And that's why I never like playing Draven Azure. Even though I have a Smurf account which I hit Draven Azure with a very high win rate, like 90%. I never like Draven Azure. I always believe that Azure Karma is the only way to play Azure. Azure Draven is just sort of a, if you have no other thing to play, you just play Draven Azure. And I can cross my hand and tell you that if you bring Draven Azure to the tournament, to these seasonals, you're expecting to lose. And you're a dumbass if you bring Draven Azure. Like, I do know I'm offending a lot of people. But if you're being driven Azure to this tournament, you're a dumbass. And so the second deck which is most common is Nasus Thresh. I think Nasus Thresh is the one deck which everybody will be targeting. Because when you look at Nasus Thresh, it's the same as driven Azure. It has a lot of good matchups across the board. It destroys aggro. It sort of destroys mid-range. But in terms of control decks, it's just sort of meh. But Nasus big enough is a huge threat. But the problem about Nasus Thresh is that it's super, super weak against Harsh. You play against Targon, right? No matter how many you slay, because Targon has infinite resources, you can slay them to the moon, you can slay them 1,000 million times. But when it comes down to it, when Harsh comes down, your creatures will not be bigger than Nasus. You have no, basically, Nasus is your biggest minion in the deck. And everything else is what? 6 life maximum, Nasus. I mean Thresh. Everything else is what? 3 life, 4 attack, la la la. And then, overall, right, the whole deck just relies on Nasus to close the game. Because the creatures itself, you can open the amazing hand of the Butcher together with the Curse Keeper, but that really doesn't really matter. Because if your biggest threat can be answered with one spell, with one burst speed spell, it's just bad. Because against Targon, they have infinite resources. And so you just lose. And that's why Nasus Thresh is a deck which I will never bring together with Azure Dragon. Because these two decks have fundamentally a lot of weaknesses. And the third deck, Overwhelm, very common. This is the one deck, right, which a lot of players are underestimating. I hit Masters last season with Overwhelm, and I can tell you from experience, this deck is quite busted. Because Ruin Runner, you slam on the Battle Furies game. The creatures are so huge, it's so hard to deal with. If you're not playing Azure Draven, which is the one deck I really dislike, there's really not a lot of ways to deal with it. The stat line is huge. It really beats a lot of mid-range and control decks. But against aggro, it's just sort of bad. And so when you think about it, Overwhelm is not really an aggro deck. It is just a huge monster deck. And that's why I really enjoy playing Ashe LeBlanc, because it's a very similar concept of big creatures slap on the board, la la la, reckoning, you win. And when it comes to Overwhelm, right, as an archetype, it's going to exist in the next season, in the next seasons as well. So do keep a lookout for that. Because when you think about Overwhelm, right, none of the cards are overpowered, other than Ruin Runner. Everything is fine. And when you think about decks that are going to be lifelong, which are going to stay in the meta for a long time, it's going to be Azure Draven, it's going to be Overwhelm, it's going to be Dragons, it's probably going to be the Targon package. And so picking up Targon now, next seasonals, is something you might want to look at. And the fourth deck, Urza Aurelia, another common deck. But I finished it only 3 times yesterday, and I banned it in every single case, because this is something which I live by. You ban Urza Aurelia, and you face the player. That is his skill level. Because when I look at the ladder now, a lot of the things are inflated. the players at the top, the ones that are probably higher ranked than me, they're all playing Asia Aurelia. And when you look at them play, I really can't tell the difference between them and a bronze player. Because the players are... Yeah. You guys get what I mean, right? Asia Aurelia is just... Yeah. I don't need to explain myself anymore. And so when you remove that deck out of a person's pool, what's going to happen? Nothing. Because they obviously need to rely on one deck to win, which is Azir Aurelia. And the fifth deck, Zoe Vi. I believe that this deck is super overrated. Like, no offense to Ruin or whoever that guy is. I think that Zoe Vi is super overrated. It is just a bunch of crappy cards. I know I'm going to get flamed for that. There's a stronger version of this deck, which I just discovered. And when you think about Targon, right? I do know, yeah, amazing, I can invoke multiple stuff. You know, I get infinite card generation, I got big hand size, but I got a bunch of cards which are 1 mana, 2 mana, which doesn't really do anything. Yeah, really, guys. When I came down to playing Zoe Vi, right, it's just a terrible deck. It's as bad as Azure Draven, it's as bad as Nasus Trash. And I can tell you that nobody is going to win Seasonals with Zoe Vi, because Zoe Vi is just a terrible deck. Really, it's just a terrible deck. It's as bad as Zoe Diana. Because if you want to run a Targon deck, you are not running it without ASO. You're not running it without Aphelios. You're not running it without Veiled Temple. And the only way to run it is ASO now, because there is no Aphelios, there is no Veiled Temple. And Zoe Vi is just bad. And a lot of players, they really overestimate what the deck can do. They play very conservatively against it. But let me tell you guys, those creatures are just 2-2, 3-2, 1-1, 4-1, 3-3. Really, just a bunch of small creatures which are infinite. And people get run over because they tend to get hit by too much of the chip damage and the burn comes in to close the game. And so basically, I just explained what Zoe Vi does. It's just a bunch of crappy cards which deal minimal amount of damage every turn. They actually need Vi to level up to smash the 5 damage so they can close the game with a Great Beyond. And does that sound similar? Almost every single non-ASO Targon deck needs the Great Beyond to close the game. Case closed. Zoe Vi is a bad deck. Okay, let's move on. Dragons. This is the most common among the decks that I face. I think that Dragons is the best Targon deck, but it doesn't feel like a Targon deck. It is a Demacia deck which contains a couple of Targon insurance policies. Basically the deck doesn't really run a lot of Targon other than Zoe and ASO and Eclipse. And so yes, Dragons is a good deck. I can tell you that next seasonals there will be Dragons as well, so do train hard for it. And possibly for next week, right? I do want to talk about next week, but since I'm not playing, maybe you guys don't have really had to listen to me on this part. I can tell you that the prep that you need for next week, if you qualify for day 2, is going to be different from what you're going to face on day 1. So you guys better be prepared for it, okay? And so the uncommon decks which I face, the first one is Zoe, Lee Sin. Let me tell you about version 1 of my lineup is bringing Lee Sin. Because when I think about it, Lee Sin is a deck where if I play well, I win. But then when I think about all the aggro, when I think about the Ursia Aurelia, I just sort of backpedaled and started to think, maybe not. Maybe bring Lee is a bad idea. And so ultimately, I just say, you know what? I'm not going to bring Lee at all. Let's just bring something else. So I settled with the same lineup. The next one, Renekton Sivir. Guys, I'm telling you, Renekton Sivir, right, is very similar to running Overwhelm. Same concept. And triple Golden Aegis, right, together with Sivir, when you put it on a barrier with the spell shield and you spread all your keywords, guys, nothing gives you PTSD more than that. There was one guy who brought Renekton Sivir, and that was the lineup I lost against. I lost against Renekton Sivir because of Golden Aegis and Constant Strike and all that. My creatures couldn't really deal with him that well, and I just lost that game. And I can tell you that the Renekton Sivir lineup, right, was interesting because he brought Renekton Sivir together with... Wait, I can't remember already. I might need to check later. But the Renekton Sivir lineup, together with Azir Aurelia, I believe, and Zoe Diana. Yes, he brought these 3 decks. The Renekton Sivir was really, really powerful, something which I really did not expect to face at all. Because I do believe that I do not believe that I will face something like that during that early or as early as round 3, because I was 2-0 during round 1 and round 2. And when I faced that deck, I was like, holy, because that deck totally eats into all 3 of my decks, maybe except Dragons. And fundamentally, when you think about that deck, right, it runs like an Overwhelm deck, except that it has Rally. Because he runs Ruin Runner, he runs Constant Strike, he runs Renekton, together with Triple Golden Aegis. And so it's one deck which is super, super terrifying to deal with. And there was one guy who brought a Highlander deep with Twister Fate. It was just a bunch of random cards put together, and I was shocked when I faced it. I have no idea how the deck works. But you know what? This tournament really got me thinking that I maybe had to think out of the box. I had to think of lineups which are not even in the pool. I had to think of decks which never even exist. And so, for the first time ever, I'm actually going to think of making my own decks from now on. And the final deck, my losses. My biggest loss was this one deck. Zoe Heimer Vi. Wait, is it Zoe Heimer Victor Vi? It was four champions in one deck. It was one copy of every single card. Every single Targon, every single Heimer card. He ran Catastrophe and he ran Iterative Improvement. And that was the only loss I had on Dragons, was against that deck. Guys, I'm trying to tell you, man. Do not just stick to just what people are playing on the meta. You have to experiment with things that are outside of the box. Ever heard of thinking out of the box? And that really got me thinking, because in Yu-Gi-Oh, right, when I won my tournament, I brought something which nobody expected at all. But I do believe the open deck list and all that, there's really no chance for you to bamboozle your opponent, try to be funny and all that. But when you think about it, when it comes down to card games, like, you want to be creative. I do believe that tournaments are where you can be creative. Because if you remove the element of the rank ladder destroying your deck's performance, because maybe you face Azir Arena, you face DLC and you just scrub. Really, right? When I think about it, you have to think out of the box. Because there's one player, his name's Adele, he's one of my friends. He brings decks which no one expects, and he usually performs on it. And those decks are not even in the pool. They are random decks which no one ever heard of. And that's why I can tell you, if you're going to seasonals and you're bringing decks which people expect, if someone just plays better than you, you're just going to get dumpstered. And so if you bring something which only you know how to play, you bring lineups where only you practice, wow, I'm telling you, it's a whole new world already. And that's the thing. My losses, right, it was incredibly weird because I lost against this Zoe Vi Victor Heimer. When he dropped the Catastrophe at 30-30, right, there was no way I could clear it. There was absolutely no way I could clear it. 30-30, I could hush it maybe. But it's 30-30, Dragons can't deal with that. And that's why I believe, right, there are a lot of potentially strong combinations in the game where you can ultimately decide your fate when it comes to this Legends Runeterra seasonals. And that's why I believe that with each seasonal passing, even though I never make a top card, start to think about it, you know? Maybe some losses happen for a reason. And this actually maybe got me thinking about my roots of being a deck builder. Maybe it's time for me to be creative, put on my thinking cap one more time, and actually do something about it. And my overall thoughts regarding seasonals, I do know that it's incredibly disappointing for me to not even hit the top card, not even once. During the fall seasonals, I would say in the SEA region, I should be one of the better, not the best. I don't really care about the best. I would say better players that can manage a high win rate. And since I can't perform a fall seasonals, something has to be wrong, right? And so I probably wouldn't make it to Worlds this year unless I get top 10 next season or I win the next seasonal tournament. And so this probably needs to be, the only last-ditch effort I can do is to get more Worlds points by winning more rounds, but that is like the last resort already. Because if I'm not aiming to win seasonals, then what's the point of playing in the first place? First place or nothing, boys. And yes, there will be a brand new expansion. We still have a couple of time before I end this episode. We have another 5 more minutes where I've got to ramble on about the next expansion and all that. I do know that patch 2.1.0 just came out. They released new pool party skins, and I can tell you I'm very disappointed at what they're releasing, because it just feels like a money grab again. I never really enjoyed all these cosmetics because I've really grown out of it. I never enjoyed having all this shiny stuff on my cards anymore. I just want the bare bones cards. I just want to play the game. And Legends of Runeterra is a game where everything is free to play. It really is the most amazing game I've played online. Because Dota is free, League of Legends you have to pay a bit. Or you have to play a lot to unlock stuff. But really when you think about it, Legends of Runeterra has to be the best game designed that I've played. I thought Hearthstone was the best card game. But now Legends of Runeterra takes the cake because it's just so well designed in terms of the overall layout, the card design, the animation and all that. It really feels that you're playing League of Legends in the card format. And so moving forward, right, I do know that I've announced I have big plans towards the end of the year. Maybe just some time for me to talk about, you know, what's going to happen afterwards. Because there's a chance that I might not even be playing the game anymore. I really do hope that I can carry on playing this game. Because with things lined up, probably I won't have the time to. The podcast will most likely be taking a hiatus, maybe after September. But I do want to continue on because I'll be having another podcast during the same time. And so if you guys, yeah, I'll definitely plug it in here so you guys can take note and listen to it when time comes. I recently moved over to Anchor FM, which is a podcasting platform created by Spotify. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine because he also does podcasts. And so I hopped on over. I enjoyed the thing, but the sort of the UI is really different from Anchor.fm because Anchor FM is, how to say, it's more budgety compared to Buzzsprout. Anchor FM is sort of free to use, which is very different from Buzzsprout. Because of Buzzsprout, I'm playing around $17 a month, which is not a lot. It's actually quite cheap when you think about hosting a podcast platform. And you need to hit at least 500 listeners every episode to qualify for the partner on Buzzsprout. And as for Anchor, you get it free from the spot. So why might as well just do it for free? Have it free, listen on everything. And the way the internet is sharing ideas through a podcast is really easy. And yeah, I think I probably have just come to the end of today's podcast. I do know that the ending part is me rambling on about, you know, life. You know, sometimes things just don't work out your way. Still one more seasonals. I gotta give it my all. If I don't make it the worst, then it is what it is. Life still carries on. And so I do believe that this message is going to go across to all you guys who didn't make seasonals, all you guys who didn't make top cut. I know you're in the same position as me. Four seasonals, didn't make a top cut once. I can just tell you that, you know, it happens. Sometimes you might be the best when you think about it, but things don't work out your way. So keep a chin up and maybe carry on because ultimately, just keep playing the game because you enjoy it. You don't do it because it's an obligation or la la la. That's the ultimate message I want to get across. Don't be too upset. Life goes on. You know, one door closes, another opens. And as for myself, still rather positive. To me, it's a journey and I'm experiencing every single moment of it. Biggest lesson that I've learned from Runeterra is how to start a podcast, how to stream, how to work with different softwares, how to actually set up a boom arm and a microphone, which is always amazing for myself. And I'd like to take this time to shout out to all the players which have helped me through my screams, bouncing ideas. Shout out to Calamitas, which is one of the better players of the region. Shout out to ZSN, fellow Singaporean. Shout out to Psycho, one of the players which I've been screaming a lot with this season. Shout out to The Meat Man, which is a guy who's always on my stream, one of the better players of the ladder as well in my region. Shout out to Mr. Bear for joining me last week, giving me some ideas when it comes to that. You guys didn't really hear the ending part of the podcast where me and him discussed about other things relating to life and Singapore in general. And so, yeah, I really imparted some stuff to him. He told me about some stuff. And yeah, probably you guys will never know what we discussed other than what's in the episode. And shout out to Mobile Gaming, Zero Infinity, the two of the pioneers of the region, which I've been talking to for a while. And I'll be having a guest next week. Not going to reveal who is it. So stay tuned for it. And that's all I have for today, guys. Take care. And that's game.